Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of evolving technologies and their impact to on-site teams. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the fabulous Lisa Russell, the Vice President of Asset Management with TM1 Properties. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Paul. I'm super excited to talk about this today because I think it's something that's on everybody's mind in regards to what's going on and what's happening with this evolving technology and how did we get here?
Yeah, and I think a lot of our listeners probably can't relate to the time frame we're going to start out talking about. But I know I've been around the industry for the past couple of decades. What's happened over the past 20 years as far as these evolving technologies, and how did we actually get to this point?
Well, I think before we talk about, you know, really today's technology and today's environment and how it impacts our on-site teams, I think that going back and talking about the history is important too. Uh-huh. I know there's some old school out there like me, but I just was introduced to Yardi Enterprise in 2000. Uh-huh. So 23 years ago, I was so excited to have a computer on my desk for the first time. We had been actually typing leases and applications using a typewriter. There's an old saying, you can't have any whiteout in the office because we weren't allowed to make any alterations to those typed leases. So it's interesting when you think about that excitement of getting that new computer on the desk and what is this thing and how does it work? And just to know that the teams at that time, you know, were just stepping into something we didn't know was going to be part of history, right, in property management. So I think over the next few years, as we hired people, you know, one of the things that was, important is that they would have, you know, Yardi experience. And I say Yardi specifically because there was very few other technologies out there. We were able to interview and hire seasoned professionals, leasing agents, assistants, and managers that had very consistent backgrounds. Now, I did come from the state of Texas, which has the Red Book, which is a lot of people know from Texas, was our kind of Bible, our guide on property management, and it had standard procedures and operations. And so it was still very manual. It was a physical book, for 30 years where we could actually pull the book off the shelf and look up how to handle a towing situation or even bed bugs. So one of the things you have to remember is how manual our environment has always been, and yet computers have been introduced and part of our systems at least 23 years back for me.
Yeah, and you know, it was one thing just to have the computer as a tool, but then later, as things developed with technology, the internet came into effect. And I can remember, and I've said this many times on the show, I can remember going into the grocery store to see you would see the magazines, the free magazines there that you could use to, if you wanted to find an apartment, that's how people marketed at that time. And now, of course, with internet, it's pretty much all internet type of marketing. So that's evolved.
Absolutely.
As well.
Exactly. So that's a great point that you brought up. Even the print ads and the books that were in the grocery store were a very manual process, very visual. So imagine, why is that important? Why do we go back and talk about that as part of our history? Because I think we really are talking about evolving, right? Mm-hmm. It's really, when we're talking about the technology today, I don't think we necessarily see, we've already had a very strong path of evolving technology. And like you said, when Yardi went from Yardi Enterprise, which was a great tool, to Yardi Voyager, which was actually, you know, internet-based, right? Mm-hmm. And we actually were able to then have email and, you know, all of that from forward to where we are. So I think that it, in part of that evolution, it impacts the team at every level, whether it was a new technology back then, entirely new technology being internet. And so I think that that is a very important part of how we need to see what we're kind of where we are today with technology and also where we're going in our future.
Yeah, and thinking back on again, taking a look at history of when it comes to technology, you know, early on when you were talking about the Yardi and so forth, you know, property management type tools that you have available today for your maintenance, you know, folks with work orders being, you know, sent to their phones and things like that, that wasn't even, you know, part of anyone's imagination, or at least, you know, that there was no clear way to get to that point. But it's there's other parts of the industry that have come along with these technology, this technology evolution that's happened, that touches almost every aspect of operating multifamily properties, correct?
Absolutely. Those work orders were, you know, strictly a manual on a piece of paper, sticky note, whatever it might be. And those were then eventually, if they were typed into Yardi, like I said, they were a basic structure. So I say that. So as we build on that, just in the regards for us to really look around our offices today to see how much of that manual process are we still using today. In some sites, it could be a pretty high percentage. If it's a smaller operation, they may still rely on a very manual process, because over the course of what we're talking about, our history, that we actually, you know, we utilized on that. We had processes and procedures in place. We had forms that we used. We had office procedures that we all had. So I think that when we start to look at what percentage of what we are still doing today is manual, I think you'll start to see that's where kind of the major changes started happening in our industry, where some people evolved with the technology faster and more comfortable than others, whether it be individuals in their career or management companies that embrace technology early on. So I think as we talk about that, that's what I want to see, is how and when that split started to take place, where we had the standard operations, we had a pretty standard SOP, policy procedure manuals, and then we started evolving as technology was evolving, and we changed some of the ways that we handle kind of our on-site operations.
Yeah, we've got about 2 minutes left. I know that when every time, and thinking back about being completely manual in the history of multifamily operations, to starting with just having a computer and then, you know, having the internet come into play and so forth. And you said people, you know, evolved at different speeds and different levels. I'm sure there were a lot of people back then who were resistant to change. That's just human nature that happens. What did you see, if you can recall, back then, as far as people that thought that this was just kind of a hocus pocus type of thing?
Absolutely. Well, that's actually what we're going to talk about going in the next segment. We're going to talk about that. What is change management, and did we embrace it in property management, maybe like some of the other industries did? But I think that that one of the things that we did see is people that were resistant to change, that wanted to keep their manual processes. And because we had kind of individuals running each individual property management site, in some cases, they hung on to the past, and they really didn't want to evolve with it, and they really weren't forced to at that time. So I think that's going to be part of the evolution that we're going to talk about, is kind of where we are and how does it impact somebody as a career, as well as individual teams. And the change management component, as we go into talking about the current technologies that we have, are going to be that's going to be a key factor.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and break it here. We're going to be right back with our next segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of evolving technologies and their impact to on-site teams. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the wonderful Lisa Russell, the Vice President of Asset Management with TM1 Properties. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Lisa, we talked a little bit about the history of technology in the multifamily industry and how we got there in the last segment. Let's talk now about the impact to our teams and how do you build and maintain a knowledge base with your teams.
So I think that this next section, as we talk specifically about as the evolving technology became more prevalent, really over the next 10 years, if you'll remember, by 2010, we started to see an introduction with a lot more software management companies coming into play, where you did see OneSite, which was obviously developing online software applications, as well as we saw the introduction to some applications that really started to make an impact and a difference. But I think before we even get there and talk about maybe some specifics, what I'd like to see is, as we started to see the impact, as we're talking about, how are we maintaining our knowledge base? As we are evolving, one of the things that happened in 2008, if everybody remembers, as we went through that down cycle and everybody was just kind of at status quo, it was really just, you know, let's keep afloat, make sure everybody's doing well. And as we went through the 2008 downturn, one of the things that happened is that we then started to see that pressure to take on and evolve more of this change management philosophy into the property management space. Means in some cases, 2008 was kind of that dividing line where it was out with the old, in with the new. And as we grew and we saw that steady incline of of applications, technology, and everything else growing over the next 10 years, we got to see our industry grow. We really got to see a really large expansion from a property management side of it, where we had maybe limited growth for multiple years. All of a sudden, we're starting to gain traction. And as we really started to recover the economy, and we really started to see how the technology was impacting us, that's the part where I think everybody was in for the ride. We were doing what we could to really maintain that knowledge base from our past. But then how do we incorporate these new technologies? And so I think we started getting into what I will call the teenage years, those teenage years of really some awkwardness where we weren't sure, are we doing this right? When we'd had 20 years of stable property management policies and procedures, we knew what to do. We had trained teams. And then all of a sudden, now we're in that awkward years and that little bit of confusion started to come in and take hold.
Yeah, and it may go hand in hand. You would know better than I. As far as back when everything was manual, at least my recollection is it didn't seem like we had the huge issues with turnover of employees that we have that we've had in recent years, and even before the pandemic. There just seems like it seemed to be a little bit more stable workforce back then. Am I imagining that?
Yeah, and I think that's come with all the changes over the last couple of years. I do, but you're absolutely right. So that's really where I'm going with this, because we were in a very consistent knowledge base that even if you transferred from one management team to another, you really felt that you knew your job. Mm-hmm. You knew what that assistant manager role was. You knew what, how to perform it. And you were building, I would say, your own credentials. You were able to come back and say, here's what I did in my last job. Here's what I learned. And here's where I grew. And that knowledge base just stacked one on top of the other. Now, where does the impact happen today? Imagine being an assistant manager who's in a position using Yardi for 12 years and then transfers to a new company that now has one site. So those 12 years of experience using the software program that they've been trained on and really skilled at is now at a situation where they're basically learning their job all over again. Mm. So once we start to see that in that, like I said, transition, when people do shift or change jobs, they do have a learning curve that may or may not have been there as much when it was a manual process. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just we have to acknowledge it. We have to plan for that. We have to make sure that our seasoned, managers and assistant managers and even amazing seasoned leasing agents, when they come into a new environment, that they are trained, that they're given that 30, 60, 90 days to really, adapt to new technologies, to new way of doing things. And I think we have kind of short-sighted our teams a little bit to assume that we just hire them. They know the job. They're seasoned veterans, and that they'll take on new technology without any kind of a ramp-up time or any kind of growth or learning opportunity. So that's where the true impact of technology today is really making a difference with some companies, where they're actually acknowledging, oh, this person came from a different environment using different tools. We need to put them on a separate training track than we would somebody that has prior experience in the applications and technology that we have. So I think that is part of how that we really want to make sure that our teams are onboarded properly and not just uniform, not just a standard 1-2-3 for everybody.
We've got about 3.5 minutes left in this segment. When you were talking about kind of the the flow of how things occurred technology-wise in 2008 with the downturn and so forth. There may have been something in between, but I know, at least from people I've spoken to and had on the show, that obviously with the pandemic in 2020, a whole new group of applications and technology came into play, because obviously you had to start virtually leasing and so forth. And there was a training and an acclimation period for people to get behind that. What was that the next step in technology that you saw, or was there something in between?
No, absolutely. You nailed it on that one. So that's where we were. What I was trying to show is we were just getting our footing in that time frame from 2010 really to 2020. And 2020 took us, you know, like you said, a whole nother level of applications that were involved, that we had that they were already in the works, but now we had a reason to apply them. So whether it was encouraging our residents to go 100% payment online, as an example, where in the past we may have had 60-40% and not really been pushing them, maybe encouraging them, but not requiring them to pay online. So we 2020 overnight took what 10 years of technology of us kind of gearing up for, ended up in 6 months, 8 months time period, we were implementing new applications, new procedures, and new policies. And so I think that that's a greater impact when we start to see where we had from what I just mentioned before, 2000 to really 2010, to really kind of start to be introduced to technology. We had 2010 to 2020, where we started to really get comfortable with it as an industry. And then 2020, we had less than a year to make that transition happen. So I think that's the perspective we've all got to kind of keep in mind, is that that's where we've come from and where we are today. So now we're in 2023, as many of us know, still recovering from that impact of 2020, 2021. And so that's where we want to stop now and recognize that our teams haven't had that 10-year gap, is what I like to call it, to really absorb some of the change management that's taking place today.
Yeah, and I can tell you that just from going on behalf of our radio show to Apartmentalize or to OpTech prior to the pandemic, and talking to people as they were coming out of some of the booths that were touting this new technology for virtual leasing and things like that, I was told, you know, I asked them, what do you think about it? They said, oh, it's interesting. Maybe someday we'll do it. But here comes the pandemic, and all of a sudden everybody had to do it. They were forced to do it. And that's how you adopt technology, kind of through a fire hose, I would imagine, is a good analogy. But we're gonna break it here. We're gonna be back right after these messages with more of this topic. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress. Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of evolving technologies and their impact to on-site teams. I am Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the fantastic Lisa Russell, the Vice President of Asset Management with TM1 Properties. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, don't delay, call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, complete technology solutions making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Lisa, we talked about the impact to our teams, building our knowledge base, but technology, it's not always, you know, great things that come from technology. It also can bring a whole set of issues that we have to learn how to deal with. Let's talk a little bit about that. What have you found there?
Well, I think that's a great point, Paul. One of the things that we've seen with some of the things, even in 2020, as we implemented some of the applications, are things like fraud. And that's been a big topic that I've actually been studying since 2017. So 2017 was my first exposure to where we were starting to see fraudulent applications, documents, and we were struggling with kind of what was this new phenomenon. We had always experienced a little bit of fraud in our past. I don't want to discredit that, but this was a definite uptick in 2017-2018. Just as I was starting to really get a handle on that technology-wise to see where is technology impacting our on-site teams as far as these fraudulent applications, 2020 happened, and the fraud actually tripled. Mm. So we saw, just like we saw the increase in technologies on site, whether it be for rent collections or new work order apps, we also saw incidences of fraud triple. So what does that mean? In some cases, if you had 10 applications coming in the door, you may have up to four of those applications being fraudulent. And if you were in a situation, what we call a fraud storm or swarm is what I would call it. It would be if a specific site is being targeted because it doesn't have the technology to protect it. And so it's actually then now a target for these fraudulent application groups that are then taking advantage of maybe a hole in their technology, if that makes sense.
Can you give our listeners the benefit of some of the examples of the things that you've seen with fraud? I mean, I know I spoke with somebody who said that there's some website people can go to or online to get fraudulent pay stubs made so they look like they're real pay stubs. What kind of things are you seeing?
Absolutely. We are seeing a little bit of all of that. So we're seeing paychecks that are actually being forged. We're actually seeing IDs that are being altered. We see what's called CPN numbers. And these are they were designed originally to be a cover so that you didn't have to disclose your social. And then but then you don't actually see the social number behind it. And so they're presenting these CPN numbers as their socials, and it's not really their socials that are behind it. So we're seeing some fraud as far as their credit histories and much more. So but I think what we start to then say is, are we consistently as an industry prepared, you know, to handle this? And what do we need to do? Well, we turn to our technology vendors who, in some cases, I know SNAP is one of them out there that actually helps scan the documents and can give more of a reference of what's going on, and whether those documents are been altered or not. And then there's Vero, which is a site that actually has you log into your bank accounts directly through their app. So that avoids some of this fake document or fake paycheck situation. So with those two as an example, that's the stuff that as a situation arises, technology also rises to help us solve it. But where does that change, again, those standard procedures, how we are actually operating, and then where does that impact the team? What we've seen is that the teams have to go through a whole nother next level of training, and that might be, in those cases, just to be able to confront or actually deal with a higher number of fraudulent applications, higher denials, more skips, and even more evictions as a result of it.
And what are you telling your teams to look out for? How are they able to better detect these things? And what places are you having them concentrate on looking for these fraudulent situations?
Yes. So that is in the training. That is with policies and procedures. It's actually with us even talking about it, because there's a lot of people out there that are like, "What fraud?" And when we're like, "Wait a minute, we're still at the level of some of our industry people not wanting to even acknowledge that there's a situation out there with the fraud, right? Because it's because the technology may not be there 100% doesn't mean we have to just wait for that technology. So one of the things I would encourage people to do, talk to your on-site teams, ask them what they're seeing, making sure that you have the right technology in place. In some cases, there's vendors out there that very popular MRI right now has the checkpoint ID and some of the other credit check processes that are out there improving day by day to help us fight this fraud. So I like to have a little bit of a positive spin on fraud, because what I want people to do is have kind of a freedom from it, which is that it's another standard operation, just like we would go through in the past, whether it was to verify income or verify employment. We're going to verify that it's, that they're not fraudulent. It just needs to become part of the everyday thing that we do. It's not, it needs to be just a standard operation that we are handling that. And the technologies, as they're building, really help us. So the other things that we've talked about with that skill set of when more technology comes into play and the impacts on our team, I have to mention, when you have a property where the manager and the team have 18 separate passwords, that's an impact to those teams. That means they're working in and up to 18 different applications on site. So we won't see some of that combining and kind of hopefully, as we talk about in the next section for the in the future, what we want to see is those some of the tech stack really consolidating. And that's where I think our future's going in property management.
And we've got about 2 minutes left. I just want to ask you one more question about fraud. What are, you know, worst case scenarios that can occur when fraud occurs, as far as it, with evictions and so forth? What are some of the things that people need to be why they should be concerned about fraud?
I think the biggest concern that we have right now is because if left unchecked at a specific property and any kind of a downturn happens or any impact happens to that area, those are as good as being like a month-to-month lease. Those people will exit and leave quickly. We saw that in 2020 in Charlotte. In that area, a property management company I was doing some consulting for basically had over 40% of their, you know, population move out overnight. Mm. So when that site went from 90 to 60% occupied overnight, it was due to the saturation of fraud that site had. So those are what you can see if they're left unchecked. But the second part of that is it's really also making sure that that you do have standard procedures, that you are talking about it at the corporate level, that you do have vendors or technology in place, and that the teams are being supported and trained. Because imagine the stress level of the teams having to actually deal with that one-on-one at the site with, you know, people that are being fraudulent.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, where we're going to talk about future technologies and trends over the next several years. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of evolving technologies and their impact on on-site teams. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the awesome Lisa Russell, the Vice President of Asset Management with TM1 Properties. I do want to let our multifamily supplier partner listeners know that we have a couple of special and very unique Multifamily Matter sponsorship opportunities that are available right now. Find out more about them while they're still available. Reach out to us at multifamilyradio.com. So, Lisa, you know, we've talked a lot about the past, how we got developed over the past 20 years with technology, and how it affects our teams, and the bad parts of technology that, for instance, fraud. Let's talk a little bit about the future technologies. What do you see as the trends over the next 5 years for technology in our industry?
So here, here's where I think a lot of different management companies are kind of in their transition phases as far as technology goes. They've had the impacts. They've, you know, they've been working with it, and now they're trying to make some, you know, kind of major decisions on which way to go. One of those ways to go is, you know, a centralization of actually taking some of the things that were being handled on site, really off site, and maybe to a central location, as it says, whether it be at the corporate office level or it being offshored. We do have a company out there, that Rocket Station, that is actually training leasing agents, you know, by phone. That would be international connections, right? So we have some of that that's actually being, you know, utilized already as we speak. And so that centralization then says, what is essential that is happening on site? How do we pare that down? Now, there's some question about whether that means that we would change how many people would be actually working on a site if there was a more centralized system in place. And so those management companies that are embracing centralization are going through some of those cycles now and really working through what that looks like. As far as the job eliminations, I don't really foresee that we can really eliminate jobs in property management right now. We are not at the level that, you know, AIs are trained to come and sit and listen to residents that are upset, right? So we do have some time on as far as how AI is developing and coming into, I guess, more of the conversation in today's new world, you know, ChatGPT and some of those that are the new future technology, those are out there helping us write some of the standard operating procedures, helping us maybe do some more streamlining to some of those manual processes still in place. And so that's some of the evolution that I look forward to, is really us starting to then maybe evolve back into a more standardized approach, rather than kind of a multifaceted or too many different options, I guess, out there. That's where I think is the next, within the next 5 years.
You know, I want to touch on something you said when you were talking about AI and eliminating jobs. I know that's something that there's probably in some parts of the industry a fear that would happen. And when I've talked to different people about that topic, you know, they say that with all of the turnover that has occurred in multifamily, that AI really is more, would help to allow the employees that they have on staff to do the kind of tasks that need to be done by a human. And AI takes those tasks, repetitive type of tasks, away so that they can concentrate on those other things. Is that what you found?
Yes, I really hope we go back to the human connection. In what we've talked about today in technology, we haven't touched on that point of what is being connected to our residents. You know, whether it is that we're able to take a quiet moment and place a phone call and have a conversation with a resident over some concern without the phone continuously ringing or interruptions in the actual office environments. So that's where we go. And if you look at the statistics, how many people are just so busy, we're not even able to answer phones. It's a phenomenon that nobody really can understand or explain. But people, because they have the phone in their hand now, use it more than back in the day. If you think about history, somebody didn't call when they were at work. They mm-hmm. would have to call from work. So you had their work number and you had their home number. But most of those calls throughout the day were on their lunch break, or if they took a scheduled break, that they could actually make a personal phone call. Now, with the technology of phones, people can call you all day, every day, as many times as they want. And now, including in that communication, is text messaging, emails, you know, even other applications that are out there. So as we evolve with that and we see how much more communication we should be having with residents, we're actually having less quality connection with residents. And so I do believe that the technology, as it starts to evolve, take away some of the mundane tasks and start to actually maybe lower that tech stack a little bit so that you're not logging into 18 different applications, that you would be able to spend a little more time and make sure that resident and that customer service is happening. So I think you're going to see a resurgence of conversation about customer service. I just think that that's been taken off the table, as we've discussed, and been kind of overshadowed by the conversation of technology.
We've got about 2 minutes left before I want to transition to something else. But I wanted to ask you, you know, when I go to the national or regional shows and you see all the different technologies, the new applications that are out there and so forth, it just is, to me, seems overwhelming to, you know, a person on site on a property team. And there just seems like, and you mentioned this, but it seems like there just should be a consolidation of being able to have one access point to reach all these different applications. And I know that there's people out there that have, or companies out there that have started doing that. What's your feeling about that?
Yes, there is quite a few new technologies out there. One of them being Yardi One, which is a one login sign in page that kind of manages all of your connections in one password, one connection. But it really, I think you just used the correct word, and that is, why are we feeling, and where is that feeling of overwhelm coming from? And that is due to the rapid change that we're experiencing. It's due to new things being introduced, in some cases almost monthly, where we were not having technology changes for 4, 5, 6 years, and now we're getting them, and they're rolling out, whether it's new payable apps like Nexus or Avid, or you have, on-site, like Site Plan is an on-site work order app. So you have all these different technologies, and right now they're not talking to each other. They're all individual in some cases. Yardi does have, and some of the big software programs do have great integrations with some of these, but we have yet to get that, I think, a fluid flow of that technology so that we're not having to really mentally jump from one technology to the next. And I see that is kind of the tipping point of where we're going to be over the next couple of years, where we will really take that, consolidate it down, really streamline it, and create that workable system for everybody. And I think we're just in some of those, like I said before, the teenage years on those. And so I do encourage people that are out there, and this is what I say to people that are new in their career or young in their career, is to embrace all the different technology you're being exposed to. Give your feedback. Really, in my words, I try to break it. I try to see what's not working with it, and then I can go back to that vendor and really just say, here's what's not working for me. We need this fixed. And so being an advocate for that change is going to be a big plus for anyone developing their career in property management.
All right, we've got about 2 minutes left, and I want to transition from the topic. I always try to ask our guests on their first time on the show, tell us a little bit about how you got into the business, and also what you're working on now, and if someone wants to reach you, how can they do that?
Well, yes, I actually have been in this industry. This is my 36th year.
Wow.
I actually started in college, actually managing the apartments on the campus of Stephen F. Austin State University. Mm-hmm. And I went on to work for 5 other university environments in the housing department before I transitioned over to the conventional side. What's interesting is throughout my path, I've always wanted to learn. So I've done construction, student housing. I've done everything from building a management company to actually building some software that I sold in 2010 to RealPage. So I've done a little bit of everything in this industry, and I think that's what this industry affords you to do, is really, you know, find a niche that you're good at, but also sample all of the other things that are available, whether it's learning the technology or being really a really good trainer. I'm currently working in my capacity for TM1 Properties and as an asset manager, which is on the other side of property management, in the actually being an owner. And we're actually building a fund to purchase property management, purchase properties in the Texas, North Carolina, and Florida areas. So that's our goal, is really out there building the next greatest fund, and really being able to be owners that are going to really be advocates for this change that I'm talking about with technology. So that's what is exciting for me, is, again, in this industry, you're able to be exposed to so much more. In addition to that, I'm also on the advisory board for several of the AI and the new technologies that we're talking about that are out and coming. Some of them that I can't even talk about because I've signed an NDA. But what's exciting about that is that I'm an advocate out there making sure that technology is coming in, not to add more confusion, but to actually help streamline what we've just talked about today.
And if someone wants to reach out to you, how can they reach you?
The best way to reach me is email lisa.russell@tm1properties.com. Would love to hear from anybody, get their feedback. Happy to be just a resource for them. A lot of companies out there right now are struggling with, how do you build that tech stack and not go backwards? And I think there's opportunities to leapfrog, maybe over some mistakes that other people who got in early in the game made. And I think that there's some new technologies coming that, if you're patient and you put it all together properly, I think you'll see a huge advancement over the next 5 years in how you are operating technology at the corporate level.
And if you go to the website, our website at multifamilyradio.com, to this episode page, besides all the other information about the episode, there will be a logo for TM1 Properties. And if you click on that, it'll take you to their website. But Lisa, thank you so much. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.